It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon. How are you today? Hope all is good. 51551 for your texts or ray@rte.ie for your emails. Hope you're having a good day. You might have heard me say yesterday that the one and only Paolo Nutini is coming in to play a few tunes for us. I was like, this is going to be a great day. We are extremely excited. His new album, Last Night in the Bittersweet, is so good. And you know, it's not every day that you'd get to have a chat with Paolo Nutini. So I had notions this morning of heading off, getting the bouncy blow dry. You know what I'm saying, ladies? But the team said no, they had other plans for me, because we went off this morning and spent the entire morning out at the Casement Aerodrome in Baldonnell, County Dublin, with the Irish Air Corps. And it was unbelievable. As Wednesdays go, it's been pretty good, I won't lie. But yeah, we got to go up in an EC-135 helicopter with some of the crew. It was part of their flight training schedule, and it was just unbelievable. There are loads of videos and pics on the Radio 1 Instagram feed, cut together by the wonderful Ellen, who was with us too. It was her first time in a helicopter. She was a tad nervous, but she loved it. But she's done some lovely stuff for Instagram, so I said I'd give her a shout out. But yeah, the Air Corps, they're celebrating their 100th anniversary this year. And we went out and we hung out this morning, and it was just to see them in action, to see them in their different roles, the passion. It was wonderful. And yeah, Ellen, before we left yesterday, Ellen said, listen, would you mind wearing an official Air Corps suit, like, you know, the green suit and the boots, go the whole hog? I said, sorry, would I mind? I would be delighted with myself. So got into the suit, had me mirrored aviators for the full Top Gun effect. And as I said, met some great people. First up, I chatted to Commandant Stephen Byrne. He's a helicopter pilot himself, and he told me all about this important anniversary year for the Air Corps.
On the 23rd of March this year, we celebrated 100 years since the Director of Military Aviation was appointed. And we had a ceremony to mark that. And then obviously the next step shortly after that was when Irish troops first marched out here to what was RAF Baldonnell and took over Baldonnell in May.
And what were the roles then in the early years, at the start of World War II and the emergency years, I suppose?
So I suppose that was really the foundation of the state. So a lot of patrolling. We did our first coastal patrols in Shannon back in 1939. That's where our first maritime patrol aircraft, to what we still have today. But that was the start of the state. Some of the interesting jobs that I only found out recently when I was researching for this role was that we had Spitfires and Seafires from World War II era, but we used them as reconnaissance. We had photographic reconnaissance equipment on them. And because we were a new state, that's what we used to document the coast. So we documented the full coast from a geographical point of view. The data that we know today was taken from the Air Corps back in the late 40s, early 50s.
This is a question for me now. Probably many people know this, but why is it the Air Corps and not the Air Force?
So we are part of the wider defence force. So we're a core of the wider defence forces. But interestingly enough, the Commission on Defence came out, that report was released earlier on this summer, and it did recommend that we should become an air force. So who knows, maybe something might happen in the future.
Okay. So today then, what are the main roles of the Air Corps?
Well, our primary role is to defend the state against armed aggression. So that's categorically out there as our primary role. And you'll see the aircraft you're going to go flying in today, they're military helicopters per se. So we do operations with our special forces, we do operations with our defence forces, wider personnel. However, we do a lot of roles, as I said, I've already mentioned the maritime patrol missions. We patrol a wide portion of the Atlantic. But the wing here that you're in today, the helicopter operations wing, that does roles like the aeromedical service, which most people may be aware of. We have there our emergency aeromedical, our air ambulance, that's down in Athlone. And to date, that has airlifted over 5,000 patients. It's well known in the Midlands, especially in the west of Ireland, because it can reach rural populations pretty quickly. We fly the Garda helicopter, and we do a lot of aerial firefighting. So they're the kind of the more pointy-ended roles that our helicopter operations wing do.
That was Commandant Stephen Byrne, such a gentleman. And yeah, I didn't know that the Garda helicopter was actually piloted by the Air Corps. So really interesting chatting to him. And then I chatted to some of the air crew and the ground crew at Baldonnell. Like, a lot of them are in their early 20s. Some of them had come from the army. Others had come in on the apprenticeship program. But I tell you one thing, talk about composure and confidence. And I got the impression that they all loved their jobs and their roles, I suppose, for different reasons.
My name is Lieutenant John O'Connell. I'm a pilot officer here in Number 3 Operations Wing. I joined the Defence Forces in September of 2018, and I've been pretty much in training since then. Now I'm here in Number 3 starting the helicopter conversion course.
So give us a rundown of what your day-to-day is like.
So it all depends on the flying plan, but you'd come in, generally it could be 7 if you're in the early slots. And then if you're not flying, you're doing staff jobs.
Okay, so when you started in the military, did you always know that it was the Air Corps you wanted to end up?
Yeah, my grandfather was in the Air Corps during the emergency. And then my mother is an intensive care nurse in Kerry General Hospital. And she's flown with the Air Corps on a number of occasions with the Emergency Aeromedical Service. So in the future, that's something I'd love to have. Meet myself flying with my mother in the back caring for the inter-hospital transfer patients.
My name is Cathy Jennings. I am 22 and I'm a corporal in the army. I was in the infantry in Galway. I then had an interest in the medical field. That brought me down to the medics in Cork, where the opportunity to become a helicopter crewman presented itself. And the more I looked into the job, I realised it was the job for me. Kind of how interesting it is, standing out on the skids and working in the air in aviation. I had an interest in that as well.
So what exactly is a crewman?
The crewman is the person in the back of the helicopter. The crewman is the eyes and ears of the pilot. They tell the pilot, they paint a picture for the pilot of what they can't see, and the pilots can kind of see 10 to 2. The crewman can see everything else. So it's the crewman's responsibility to ensure that the tail doesn't hit off of anything, that the helicopter lands in a safe place where they can land. They also ensure that any equipment or personnel or anything that's in the back is safe. And
so you're like a human wing mirror, essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because as I said, the pilots can't see.
My name is Aaron Hearn. I'm an airman in the number 3 here. I'm from County Wexford and I joined the Air Corps in 2015. My job is to look after the aircraft from a maintenance point of view. So today I'm looking after this EC-135, making sure that it's airworthiness for the day. And on other days then I'm also carrying a heavy maintenance on both here, the 135 and the Augusta Westland 139.
You came in through the apprenticeship programme. Tell us a bit about that.
I applied for the Air Corps apprenticeship in 2015. I did my military training and then I spent 3 years here in the Air Corps doing an apprenticeship where I got a lot of hands-on experience.
Do you love it?
Love it. Absolutely love it.
So that was trainee pilot John, crewman Cathy, and ground crew, ground technician Aaron. And again, like, just really passionate about what they do. And Cathy is in fact the first ever female helicopter crewman in the Air Corps. So it was great to hear that as well. So some woman for one woman. Anyway, they were kind of keen to get us up because everything has to go to time, as we know. And we were suited and booted, safety checks all done. And then it was time for takeoff. So we were strapped in. Stephen, our pilot, was in charge and he was actually putting John through his training paces. So it was like, you know, if you do a driving lesson and there were 3 RTE people in the back looking at how you were getting on. But it was great. He was up the front. Cathy was hanging out the open door of the helicopter and off we went.
Hi, my name is Captain Stephen Morrison with the Irish Air Corps and I'm working currently as the chief instructor in the helicopter training school here in Ballydonnell. So today we're going to have a very quick look at what it takes to actually make a helicopter pilot, taking someone from 0 hours time on the aircraft to being able to fly the complicated high profile missions that we so often see around the place.
John, what does it feel like to have 3 extra people on your training session?
At the end of the day, really, the job of getting the aircraft to where you need it to be safely, it doesn't matter if there's 10 people in the back or if you're on your own, it's still the same.
So departure is briefed, all happy in the back.
271,
Roger.
Pass the active report ticket.
Pass the active report ticket, echo 271. Okay, transition.
Roger, transitioning, close the starboard door now. So if you look out to the right side of the aircraft, you'll see, it'll just come into sight now, the bridge that we did the water confidence jump off in our selection. Roger, that's just coming into my line of sight now.
Roger. So just to the left of that, there's a pedestrian track that comes off the top of Sorrel Hill.
Roger.
And it's where that path meets the tree line. There's a bit of a flat green area.
Roger, it's just a bit of pale green area just a beside firm, the tree line, just on the corner of the tree line.
Exactly. Approach speed's good, you're clear to open.
Roger, opening starboard door now.
Roger.
All good, kicking into 3S brief. The Roger. Slope is a nose to tail slope. The surface is good ground and we are clear of surrounding obstacles. I'm happy enough to take a landing here if you want. And you are clear down on the spot.
Clear down.
Down 3. Down 2. Down 1.
And we were down. And I'm not joking you, I'm not lying when I said that she was literally hanging out with her nose touching the grass as we landed. What a morning it was. It was absolutely brilliant. And a big thanks to everyone in the Irish Air Corps at Casement Aerodrome in Baldonnell. Big anniversary for them, celebrating 100 years. And don't forget, you can check out our flight on our Instagram page, which is at RTE Radio 1, also on the Irish Air Corps page as well. They were going to put it up. So, yeah, what a morning. Loved it. All right, let me tell you about our quiz coming up a bit later. We are reeling in the years and we have gathered up sounds and clips from the years and the decades, including songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And we are looking for two people to come on and answer three questions each. But there is a little twist, which you know at this stage. A short clip gets you 2 points. A long clip gets you 1 point. So if you're brave enough to take part today, let me tell you about our prize to tempt you to pick up the phone. This week, we're giving away a luxurious 2-night break in the Heritage Hotel. You and a guest will enjoy breakfast on each morning and dinner on one evening in the award-winning Blake's Restaurant. Classically elegant and comfortably luxurious, the Heritage is set in the pretty village of Killinard, County Leash, just over an hour's drive from Dublin, perfect for discovering Ireland's ancient East. There's lovely country estates like Emo Court, you've got the trails and the sleep blooms, or you can have some retail therapy in Kildare Village. Loads to do. So if you want to check them out, you can check them out on their website, theheritage.com. But to be in with a chance of playing today, all you got to do is answer this question. Last night, Rachel Duffy from County Westmeath won what famous flower-themed competition held in Kerry? I think the whole country was tuned in. Give us a call, 0818715925. If you think you know the answer, 0818715925. All right, I am going to make my way down to Studio 8 to Paolo Nattini and I will catch up with you after the break.
RTE.ie, The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now I've made my way over to Studio 8 and we are thrilled to be joined live by the one and only Paolo Nattini and the gang. He is in the middle of his Irish tour and he's just announced three big Irish dates for next summer, which I know I'm going to tell you all about them in a second. He's still celebrating the release of his latest album last night in the Bittersweet. I was talking about it yesterday. It is a cracker. We love it. Paolo Nattini, welcome back to Ireland. How are tricks?
Oh, good, man. Good. Happy to be here.
Well, you know you hold a very special place in Irish hearts, so we're delighted to see you back. You've been playing Limerick, you're playing Dublin tonight, you're playing the Olympia.
The Olympia, yeah.
And then up to Belfast. So how's the tour been going? Are the Irish fans faring up as you hoped?
The Limerick fans were lively.
Right.
Yeah, Moat Market was a cool place.
Yeah?
Yep.
So good gig, good crowd.
Good crowd, good Guinness, good times.
And you had a few days to recover before the gig tonight.
Well, we had the day.
Okay, that was all you needed. We're going to have more of a chat in a little bit, but let's do a live song because this is one of the songs that you released pre the album coming out. This is Through the Echoes. It's my favourite one on the album. I love it. Okay. So what was the kind of thinking behind releasing before the album came out? Was that just so we'd all get into it and know the words?
Yeah, I think for the five songs. We knew we had shows coming up and I wanted people to hopefully listen to them and know them so that we could play a lot of new songs.
Great stuff.
That's really where.
And did you feel that feedback in Limerick? Did they give it to you? Did they know the words?
Did they
you have that energy?
They did, man. I think we all had such a great time. We're all really looking forward to tonight.
Happy days. All right, well let's hear you. Take it away.
Okay.
I'm always wondering what it would be like to die. She asked me why. Always smile when I feel like I'm gonna cry. She asked me why. Over the cliff in phantom sands,
She's always offering me her hand, and I hear her coming through the echo, through the echo, through the echo, straight to me. Over and over, over and over, over and over again. She's always wondering what it would be like to fly. I ask her why, and she says everything that she sees shines in the sky. Up there shining, when your belly's rolling down the fold, when you ask for bread and get a stone, when you feel like you're alone, listen for me coming through the echoes, through the echoes. Listen for me coming through the echoes, through the echoes, through the echoes, straight to you. Over and over, over and over, over and over again. Over and over, over and over, over and over again. Over and over, through the echoes, through the echoes, straight to you. Listen for me coming through the echoes, through the echoes, through the echoes, straight to you. Straight to you.
Unbelievable. Love it. Absolutely magic. You're delighted with that.
We got through the whole song.
Paolo is here. We've got Mick on bass. We've got Donato on keys, who was quiet for that one. And I've just spilt my water on the floor, but don't worry, there's enough. We're not near any wires. And Gavin is on guitar there. Magic. Loved it. So how does it feel, Paolo, to finally have the album out?
It feels great. It feels great. It means we can travel around and we can play and we can tour and we can do things like this.
Yeah.
You know.
16 again. Tracks. Was it difficult to put together? I mean, how long did it take and what was the process? And did you end up leaving a load on the cutting room floor, or was it?
Yeah, you could say that. There was, over the last 5-7 years, I was doing other stuff, but I would write a lot. I would call the guys, we would go into the studio and spend a few days here and there doing some stuff, and obviously songs, you collected songs. Mm. But it was when it felt like it had to be an album rather than just like, okay, we've got the right amount of songs now so we can go. Once it became an album, I thought, okay, now let's let people hear it.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of songs that were in between of those sessions that aren't on there. But And I hope they're going to hear themselves.
Is it nerve-wracking when the album comes out when you've been working on it for so long? And I mean, like yesterday I played New Shoes. You don't go a week on the radio out here in Candy, do you know? And now we're hearing your new stuff. That must be, you know, great. And is it terrifying at the same time as well?
What's terrifying?
Is it like hearing all the new stuff, like that it's out in the world, if you like?
Yeah, I just trying to keep as busy as I can without having really... I'm not really looking back at the moment.
Okay, it's all about going forward.
We'll do television shows. I've not watched them. Okay. I'm just going
just forward.
At one point, it'll feel like a good idea to maybe reflect on it all, but yeah.
Right now, it's just back. Great to be back out in the road. Yeah. Glastonbury, you did a great version of Acid Eyes. Was that great to be on stage there?
Yeah, and that was nice. Nice setting.
Yeah.
Sun. Yeah, that was cool. It's nice. I like doing sessions like this and being able to do different versions of the songs. And I think it gives people a different taste, or maybe shows you the different stages the song took before it got to when it made it on the record.
Totally, totally. There's also a Quentin Tarantino approved song in there as well.
Yeah, man.
Tell us about that.
I loved that film. I loved that part of that film, that speech in the film specifically. And we were in Wales, we were in the studio there. That song came together and that felt like the time to use it. It took a little while to work up the courage to ask Quentin Tarantino in the first place and then to hear back from him. But luckily, we got the thumbs up.
You got the thumbs up. That's Afterneath, another great track. And I understand as well Damien Rice's iconic album, that was essential for you in your early songwriting.
Yeah, I kind of taught myself how to play guitar to that album, pretty much.
Yeah.
I loved that record when it came out. And it was before the time where you could find out everything about everyone. And there was a mystery attached to Damien and his I really loved it. I still love that record.
Oh, he's such a great artist. And just when you say like everybody knows everything now, I mean, is it fair to say you're a pretty reluctant star? Like the whole fame thing, does it? Do you wish it wasn't part of the job?
It is what it is, man. You know, it's what it is. You can't go on stage and say, look at me, or go on the TV and say, look at me.
Yeah.
And then people recognise you and go, why do you look at me? You know, but it's just, it's, as you said, if you keep busy enough, you don't have much time to deal with it, you know, you just keep going.
Alrighty, cool. So Joan has texted in. She said, I've been a fan of Paolo's since New Shoes. I'm going to the Olympia with Leslie Ann, Dara and my two daughters tonight. I'm an elderberry, 71 years of age, and I love Paolo's music. I've seen him many times, but there's nowhere like the Olympia for its intimacy. Also got tickets for next year in Malahide Castle. Johnny also texted in, Catherine, would it be possible for Paolo to say hello to Jessica and Dawn, who are tuned in and listening in Eastwall? They're going to the gig later on tonight as well. That would be mega. Thank you, says Johnny.
Hello, Jessica. Hello, Dawn.
Brilliant stuff. And all right, I said I'd tell you about the summer dates. We have Musgrave Park in Cork. That is June 14th. There's Malahide Castle in Dublin, June 16th. And Belsonic in Belfast. That is Saturday, the 17th of June. And tickets are on sale now. And the album, which everybody has to get because it's mega, is Last Night in the Bittersweet. It's out now. Lovely to chat to you, Paolo. Good luck with the gig tonight, lads. It's going to be a belter.
Thanks for having us.
Not at all. What are you going to play us out with?
We've got a song called Lose It. We're going to play that. It's a bit, you know, a little version of it.
Off you go.
Lose it for a little while, lose it. bringing me down, down. And January made me shiver. Another year here to deliver. Another teardrop in the river was bringing me down, down, down. Since 1796, rolling. From you I get such a big, big feel, such a big, big power. A kiss like a ripe grape, ready to be mine. We've been reaching out, shaking hands, making funny, making friends. Pull a pie down from the sky and just lose it for a little while, lose it. Lose it for a little while, lose it. Lose it for a little while, lose it. Lose it for a little while. I could not seem to find a way out of my worried mind. Feeling I'd been left behind was bringing me down, down. January made me shiver. Another teardrop in the river was trickling down, down. Lose it, lose it for a little while, lose it. Lose it for a little while, lose it. Lose it for a little while, lose it.
Bettini live from Studio 8. Thanks for coming in, guys. Enjoy the gig in the Olympia tonight. Let's take a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
There is a lot of love coming in from Mr. Paolo Nattini. Catherine, what an artist. There was a real touch of the Doors there, LA woman, and that comes in from Kieran. Catherine, you lucky thing to be there in studio live with him. I mean, what the man is just, he's unbelievable. He's got an incredible voice. And you're lucky if you're going to the Olympia tonight, that's what I say. All right, dubbed as one of the rising stars of Irish comedy, my next guest has a talent for storytelling, particularly when it comes to going against doctor's orders. She's now taken to the stage at the Dublin Fringe Festival, Emily Ashmore. You're very welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good. How is life?
Life is good. Yeah, yeah. Pretty busy. But yeah, loving it.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah. You're a stand-up comedian. You've got a new show that we're going to talk about that you're bringing to the Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. Was it always, first of all, what age are you?
I'm 23.
23. So was it always comedy for you or?
Yeah, well, kind of always writing. And then when I was maybe 16, 17, then I really got the bug for stand-up and then did my first gigs when I was like 18, 19. So yeah, it's been a few years on the circuit.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's one of the things that people, you know, like what's your biggest fear? It's standing up in front of people and having to talk or deliver. But then like stand-up comedy, it always pushes it to the next level.
Yeah.
So you're 18, 19. When you stood on that stage, did something happen to you? Like when you got that first laugh? Or did you not get the first laugh first time?
To be honest, for the first gig, I probably don't even remember. It was just such a blur. I think one of my first gigs was my 19th birthday in Whelan's. And I was just happy to be there. I think like Alison Spittle or someone was on the same bill. And I was just like in awe of everything, in awe of the whole like atmosphere, the whole thing. So yeah, whether I got a laugh or not the first time, I was definitely bit by the bug, yeah.
Okay, and so then it obviously progressed. You get more confident in your delivery. You also get more confident in what the type of material you like to perform.
Yeah, definitely. Like at the beginning, I suppose like when you're 19 and probably still now 23, you don't even really know who you are yet. So you're like
figuring it out.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out and you're trying to find your voice. So that's kind of what I like to explore in my comedy, like trying different things, finding my voice and all on stage.
Okay. You are a pharmacist. You're a pharmacy technician.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're a pharmacy technician and then you come home to the folks and you go, you know what? Comedy, it's the way I want to go. Or to your friends, like what? How did that news go down? Because you're still a pharmacy technician.
Yeah, obviously. Still, yeah. I am. It's a bit of a Hannah Montana thing. I live a bit of a double life kind of thing. So from like 9 to 6, 3 days a week, I'm in my smock and I'm doing my thing and loving my pharmacy life. But then it all comes off then, and then I rush into town and do a gig. So. Yeah, I'm like a Hannah Montana kind of, but a slightly less version of Hannah Montana, not as cool as Hannah Montana.
But your family are behind you, your friends are behind you, like they're obviously big supporters.
Yeah, definitely. Especially with this new show now as well, they're all coming, the amount of messages, like distant family, like the most random people are like, oh, I'm booked for this date. And I'm like, okay,
I'm sold out. This is fantastic. And like you've got half your family there.
Yeah.
You often mention the typical Irish mammy in your sketches as well. Mm-hmm. Do we have the most hilarious mammies in the world, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. And they're very unaware that they're the funniest people in the world. And they're very kind of like, you know, they just have so much love to give. But the way that they give it, I think, is pretty funny. Yeah,
it's special.
Yeah.
And you mentioned dating a lot during your gigs. But you do say the most toxic relationship of your 20s has been with your kneecaps.
Yeah.
That is a sentence that I, you know, didn't think that I would ever say. But tell us about this, because it's really interesting.
Yeah. So when I was about 16, I got my first dislocation. It was my first time. I was on the 105 bus coming back from big day out in Blanchardstown and looked down at my knee and it was on backwards. Just my kneecap was around the back. And yeah, my knees have been trying to leave me ever since. And they keep just coming back. And yeah, we just have this love-hate relationship, ever since.
So when you say you have dislocated knees, like that was the first time it happened. And it still is happening to you now, all these years later. So is there a term for it? Like what's it called?
I don't think there's a medical term. Like I wish there was, because then I'd be able to say, oh yeah, I have this, whatever. But I usually just tell people have dodgy knees. Like I'm like, yeah, they're just a bit dodgy. But yeah, they just kind of pop out, pop in, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And have you had surgery on it or...?
Yeah, one leg has had surgery and then I'm waiting on the other one to be done. So, yeah, I'm kind of in an in-between phase at the moment. So I kind of have one good knee, one bad knee.
Okay. Yeah. And can this just happen at any time? Like you walked in here to studio and we were having a chat. You walked in fine. So is it something, do you need? Do you use crutches or?
No, kind of around the surgery, yeah. Or like before the surgery, I was kind of laid up a good bit. But yeah, I've kind of learned how to mask it a little bit. I wear baggy jeans and kind of just, perfect the walk, half limp, half walk, yeah.
Wow. And I mean, now what you've done is you hid it for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've made it part of your show, you've made it part of your comedy. Why was that decision? Why was it, you know, why did you take that decision?
I think as a young woman in comedy, like when you go into the clubs or go into a big gig, you want to come across kind of strong and you want to show no weakness. Mm. You know, you want to show the best version of yourself. So I think for a while I hid the issue with my knees because I didn't want it to come across as weak or, you know, anything like that. I wanted to prove that I was just as strong as the boys, like I could stand up there as well, you know, even though I couldn't really stand for that long.
I was about to say there's a joke in there somewhere, which you've probably heard a million times at this point.
But I wrote the show after my first surgery because I just decided that I wanted to reclaim my own story, reclaim kind of the power and kind of tell my story the best way I know how, like through stand-up and through okay. jokes. Yeah.
So the show is called Ashes to Ashmore.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was written then in hospital beds and.
Yeah, yeah, kind of waiting rooms for doctors, hospital beds, kind of my sofa after the fact, in between Fraser reruns and cups of tea and et cetera, et cetera.
What we were all doing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I just had nothing to do, and all these kind of funny moments kept popping up. So I just said, you know what I'm going to do? What I do best, and just put a pen to paper and, you know, get something out of it, get a show out of it, tell my story.
And was that kind of a bit like therapy then in one way, you know, that you can actually write and control the humour and sort of get into it? Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've always kind of used stand-up as a way. It's kind of like my own diary, but I just kind of share it with the world or whatever. I share it on stage. But yeah, it was definitely a way for me to process what I was going through, because obviously when you're young, you want to be out, like, you know, going to gigs and, you know, socializing, going to clubs, etc., etc. But like, I was like, oh no, I'm gonna have to sit this one out because, you know, my knees or whatever. So it was just a way for me to process that.
So it was very debilitating in that. So you couldn't go out to a gig. I'm just thinking Paolo Nutini. You couldn't go and stand in the Olympia. You couldn't be in big kind of mosh pit crowds.
Yeah. There was a few instances where I like got swept up by kind of mosh pits and that, and I would just be like, my knees, please watch my knees. So I just kind of I still kind of go to gigs, but just kind of sit in the back, or, you know,
okay.
if I could wrap my knees up in bubble wrap and go into the mosh pit, I would.
Okay. And what about stuff like driving and all that? That's okay, is it?
No, I actually can't drive. Okay. So that was kind of put on the back burner as well. Can't really cycle, can't kind of walk for longer than half an hour, stand for longer than half an hour. So a lot of things that milestones you'd want to be hitting in your kind of early 20s, I kind of have had to put on pause for a sec. So I explore all that in the show, and kind of the feeling where you see everyone else kind of learning to drive and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it was a difficult feeling to process, but yeah.
And when you get the surgery on your other knee, will that bring you back to, will you get back to full mobility at that point? Or?
Yeah, hopefully we'll see. I mean, if not, I might get another show out of it at least.
Absolutely.
Dublin Fringe 2023, perhaps. But yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, yeah.
We were having a chat just while the song was on there. So Rob Flynn, who's a comedian as well, he's your boyfriend.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's pretty supportive in more ways than going, your comedy is fab. Like, he kind of really helps you out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the amount of times I've like been throwing my crutches into his car and he's been helping me up to the stage or that kind of thing. And also he's directing the show now in September as well. So yeah, definitely the most supportive partner.
He's directing the show. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. How did that, was okay? No major fights?
Not yet. I'm yet to do the show, so we'll see what happens. But no, nothing so far. It's been good so far, yeah.
Okay. Do you still get nervous going on stage?
No, not really. I think depending on what it is. But I just kind of get more excited now. Just kind of, I'd be nearly rushing to get on. Like, I'd be standing in the wigs going, let me on. Mostly because I kind of want to sit down, but also because, you know, just can't wait to go, raring to go.
And there's good, like, there's great women in the comedy circuit now. They're coming through.
Definitely.
And, you know, I just started watching Bad Sisters with Sharon Horgan, and I know she's not stand-up, but, like, she's done some great stuff with Aisling Bea as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Alison Spittle, amazing. You know, there's some great characters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's inspiration everywhere. Like, if you look, Joanne and Catherine Bohart.
Yeah.
Deirdre O'Kane, obviously.
Yeah, the Queen.
The Queen, absolutely, yeah, royalty. And even in the circuit, like, there's so every gig that I go to, I'm like, I hope there's a female comedian because I just can't wait to hear what they have to say.
All right. Well, listen, the show is called Ashes to Ashmore. I've been chatting to Emily Ashmore, and you can catch her show. It's the Workman's Club from September 12th to September 22nd.
Yep.
Best of luck with it.
Thanks a million.
Nice chatting to you. We got a gas email in from Rachel. I have to read it to you. She said, Catherine, when I was in sixth year, I was and still am a huge Paolo Nutini fan. One Thursday evening, I was sitting in school and I got a call from my sister who had just landed in Berlin. She had bumped into Paolo Nutini in the airport. They got chatting and he offered her tickets to his show that night. She knew what a diehard fan I was and she said she'd call later on and put Paolo on the phone. So later on that night, my phone rang. I nervously answered and it was Paolo himself. We chatted for a while and after our conversation, I texted my sister's phone and said, oh my God, that was the best moment of my life. If Paolo ever wants to write music with me, that would be epic. I received a reply back saying, oh Nelly, XXXX. I looked up what it meant and realised it was Scottish slang for saying, oh my God. So not only did Paolo and I have a phone conversation, but he was also texting me too. I was so chuffed that I've tweeted a screenshot of the text back in 2014. See photos of the texts attached, which she has sent in to us. And also see the photo that still hurts me to this day, a photo of my sister and Paolo. She didn't even like his music. It should have been me. It's always the way, Rachel, isn't it? But listen, well done. And I hope you get to see him either tonight or in Belfast or his gigs next year. All right. It is now time for this. Yes, it's time to reel in the ears. We have gathered songs, news reports, TV shows and movies and we have two people ready to do battle. We're going to meet Mary and Jonathan in a moment. Let me tell you what they are playing for. This week we're giving somebody every day a chance to win a luxurious two-night break in the Heritage Hotel. You and a guest will enjoy breakfast on each morning and dinner on one evening in the award-winning Blake's Restaurant. The Heritage is set in the pretty village of Killinard, County Leash, just over an hour's drive from Dublin. Perfect for discovering Ireland's ancient east. You've got beautiful country estates, Emo Court, you've got the mountain trails and the Slieve Blooms. Lots of retail therapy in Kildare Village. There's also plenty to do without even leaving the Heritage. You can go to the spa, you can go to the health club, afternoon tea, and they've also got a cinema there as well, in case the weather isn't on your side. So theheritage.com, that is the email where you can check them out. And we asked you guys last night, Rachel Duffy from County Westmeath won what famous flower themed competition held in Kerry? The answer, of course, was the Rose of Tralee. And Mary Willis and Jonathan Dutton are on the line. Good afternoon, guys. Lovely to chat to you. Lovely to chat to you. Mary, you are player number one, so I'm going to come to you first. Where are you calling from?
From Drogheda.
From Drogheda in County Louth.
Yes.
And were you actually watching the Rose of Tralee last night?
Just bits of it. Not all of it, just bits of it, yeah.
She did very well, Rachel.
Lovely,
didn't she? Rachel,
yeah, she appears to be lovely.
Yeah, great girl. So what's going on in Drogheda today? Are you working or are you off? Or?
No, I work 3 days a week as a medical receptionist, so I'm off Wednesdays and Fridays.
Okay.
So today is all about housework and laundry and dinner and jobs.
All the good stuff.
So that's what Wednesday is anyway.
Okay. Who's at home with you?
Well, I see my husband Andy, he's at work, but I have the children at home. Grace is 21. Matthew is 18, Harry is 16 and Jack is 12.
Okay.
So we have an exciting year. We're waiting for the Leaving Cert results and we're waiting for the Junior Cert results.
Oh
well,
my God. How was the whole year for you in terms of the stress levels?
It was awful. Because they did their best. They're good kids and they have done their best. So we have to leave it to, it's outside of our control now,
I know. But you know what? I kind of think I have friends who were in the same, that they had a Leaving Cert and Junior Cert in the same house. And in one way, it's best to get it all done in the one year.
I know, but it's so hard on them. Like, it's a horrible process.
And for you as well.
Look, your mum's. But it's a horrible process for them. They've done well. Look at it. They've done what they've done now at this stage. We can't.
I'd say you did a mighty amount of dinners, did you, to kind of keep
dinners and favourite dinners and treats and keeping them all happy and keeping the show on the road and keeping them all positive.
Well, Mary, if anybody deserves two nights away in the Heritage, I think it's yourself.
Whatever.
Well, listen, stay on the line. Nice chat to you. Jonathan, where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Dublin.
Lovely stuff. And are you working today yourself? Are you off? Or?
I'm working, yeah. I'm driving a taxi around Dublin today.
Oh, very good, very good. What's your favourite route, or what sort of route do you drive? Are you in out, and everywhere?
I'm everywhere, yeah. I've no particular fondness for anywhere at all once the meter's gone.
All right. And you got good news recently, they tell me.
Today, yeah, I found out I'm going to be a granddad.
Yay!
I know. So emotional wreck today.
Oh my goodness. And is this a first time granddad?
First time, yeah.
Wow. Time. Okay. Yeah. And so tell me about your kids then.
Okay. So Amy, she's 27. She's She's the girl who's pregnant, and okay. I have another daughter, 26.
Okay. Oh my God. So, and was it a big surprise for you?
A huge surprise for all of us, yeah.
Ah, brilliant. Yeah. What an exciting day.
I know.
That's brilliant. And when is Babby due?
She's due. The baby's due. On my wife's 50th birthday next year in March.
So. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's exciting. Exciting That's times.
Crazy, yeah.
So your wife, is that Adele?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So you go away every year to celebrate your anniversary.
We got married abroad, so we go back to the same place every October for the anniversary.
For a little breakaway. Lovely. Yeah. Great stuff. So I'm assuming if you win, you're going to bring the lovely Adele, are you?
Most definitely.
Brilliant. All right. Well, listen, it's Jonathan and Mary. Do you want to wish each other the best of luck,
lads? Yes, very best of luck, Jonathan.
Best of luck.
Good luck now.
All right, Mary, as you are player number one, we are going to start with you. Here we go. The year is 1999. All right. So we're going to give you a movie question first, Mary, and you let me know, do you want to go for a long clip, which will get you 1 point, or a short clip, which gets you 2 points?
Try a long clip.
You're going to go long. Play it safe. All right. For 1 point, Mary, this is your movie question. This romantic comedy starring Julia Roberts and Richard Gere was a huge hit in 1999. Can you name it?
Pretty Woman?
Yes, that's right. With a priest, you wanted scrambled. With a deadhead, it was fried. With the other guy, the bug guy, it was poached. Now it's like,
all right, Mary, that was in fact not Pretty Woman. It was Runaway Bride.
Oh,
that was what. Okay. And we had to take your first answer, okay. I'm afraid. So sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, Roisin is out here saying you should wait for the clips. Wait till you get to the end of it, especially if you go long. Okay.
Okay.
Hang tight though, Jonathan. We're back to you.
Sure.
Your movie question. What do you think? Long or short?
I'll go long. Please.
Long. Okay. For 1 point. Julia Roberts also starred in another hit romantic comedy in 1999, this time opposite Hugh Grant. Can you name this movie?
The fame thing isn't really real, you know. And don't forget, I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her.
All right, Jonathan, have you got it?
I lose all credibility if I get it right. Is it Notting Hill?
It is Notting Hill. well done. That is 1 point on the board for you. Yeah, Julia Roberts plays a famous actress who falls in love with a regular Joe Soap, played by Hugh Grant. Great movie, I have to say. I always like it. All right, Mary, back to you. We are going to your music question now. Again, it's 1999. Do you want to go long or short?
Short.
Okay, for 2 points, Mary, here we go. This song was a big hit for an American rock band in 1999. Can you name either the song or the band?
Hey, I'll start to marrow while it breaks the spell of aging. Celebrity skin, is this your gender?
What do you think, Mary? Yeah. 1999, American rock band.
Don't know.
Give it a guess. Can't think?
No.
All right.
No.
Don't worry.
No, sorry.
This is where you need all these teenagers around you.
Yeah, no.
It was the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wouldn't have known that.
Okay. Californication from the album of the same name. All right. Not to worry. So, Jonathan, we are back to you.
Yeah.
And if you go short and you get it right, it means you have won today. Or you could play safe and get a long one banked. What do you think?
We'll go short.
You're going to go short. Okay.
Please.
This is for the win, because if you get this right, it means Mary can't catch you. Okay, for
no
2 points. No pressure. This is music. In 1999, this was a huge hit for a UK pop band. Can you name either the song or the band?
You only have to answer to yourself. Don't you know it's true,
I
say.
Oh, that's a toughie.
I wouldn't have a clue. S Club 7.
It's the right answer.
No way.
Fair play.
Jonathan. You've lost all credibility between Notting Hill and S Club 7.
Oh, brilliant.
brilliant. Oh, oh, thanks so much. Hard up, Mary.
That is
not
brilliant.
Sorry. Thank you very much.
Mary,
thank
I'm you. Sorry you didn't have a chance. This is the king of cheese here, clearly.
Not at all.
You didn't stand a chance.
Congratulations
against
to you.
Mary,
you.
We are going to send you two Ray Darcy Show mugs up to Drogheda in Louth. Thanks for
lovely. Thank you very
thanks
much.
For joining us today, and best of luck getting the results. We'll have everything crossed for you. Jonathan,
best of luck, Mary.
That yes, is phenomenal. You and Adele, thanks to your innate knowledge of rom-coms and...
being dragged to all these things over the years, you know.
Brilliant. So you're heading off to the Heritage in Killinard and Leash for two nights. So we're looking forward to
excellent.
It.
Oh, really am. Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Well, there you go. You've just found out you're going to be a granddad and you win a weekend away as well.
They couldn't get any better.
There you go. Listen, drive safely, all right?
Thanks very much.
Take it easy, Jonathan. Nice chatting to you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That is Indigo Girls, Closer to Fine, and what a good track. Now, we may be lamenting the fact that we're coming into the final week of August, which for many means the end of our super sweltering summer, as well as the back to school countdown. But if you're still dreaming of treating yourself to a little getaway, just about now also marks the start of the staycation shoulder season in Ireland. So here to inspire us with some great value breaks, and we are all looking for value right now, in maybe some of Ireland's more unheralded tourism counties, shall I call them. We have seasoned staycationer and travel editor with the Irish Examiner, Tom Brannock, on the line. How are you, Tom?
Great, Catherine. The end is nigh.
The end is nigh. how have you been?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. I think you were chatting about this yesterday, but it's that time of the year where suddenly you're having a walk in the evening and that first autumn air comes. And you're like, oh, there
oh,
it is.
I know.
I don't think it kind of, it's, you know, we've so many tourism options still, and it's not kind of shutters down season anymore when September comes, because I think there's such a like a depth of kind of offerings in Ireland nowadays, from, you know, pumpkin picking and festival food festivals, and there's so much going on to kind of encourage people to kind of get out and keep discovering, as they say.
Yeah, and I've actually gone through a load of your suggestions here, so we're going to get straight into them because there's some really good ones. Let's start in Louth, because we just had Mary from Drogheda in County Louth who lost the competition there, so let's big up Louth, and that's where we're going to start, in the Fairways Hotel, is it?
Yeah, the Fairways Hotel. So we've scoured the nation looking for Ireland's best value penthouse, and we've found it in Dundalk. So I actually stayed in this hotel kind of accidentally for work last year. It's a new hotel, and it's not like in a particularly dramatic area. It's next to like a retail area outside Dundalk, but once you go in there, you're like really, really impressed by it. It has great value family rooms. So right now you can get a double room for £110 B&B. They have a 20% sale right now.
Wow, okay.
And 150, that's really, I mean, you know what
wow,
it's like looking
yeah.
for, you know, hotel rates have increased, and it's more usual to see the upper 100s nowadays. So to see a lower price like that is a bit of a novelty. But beyond it being good value, it's a really lovely hotel. Has a very kind of fancy new brasserie, a really nice breakfast room where you can get lovely kind of brunch items. I think I'd like some like vegan feta and mushroom confit thing, and there's this kind of ornamental cherry tree in the middle. It's not your kind of typical run of the mill hotel. And also you have what I was joking about, but it's still legitimately, if anyone fancies a treat for like a romantic break or a girls weekend or a guys weekend, what I think is Ireland's best value penthouse. So it's €244 a night from €244, and it's a three-story. It's almost like if Samantha from Sex and the City did a kind of a spin-off show, where would she be? She'd be in this hotel room in Dundalk. Yeah. So like floor-to-ceiling lounge, designer kitchen, and then you go upstairs, this like fabulous bedroom with a kind of a tow bath, and all the kind of all the really plush trimmings. And, you know, no, it's a four-star hotel, and it really feels like a good four-star quality, you know? So
wow.
That's really a nice option. And, you know, it's the kind of place that you could just be happy to just look, let's just head up there and live the high life for a night. Or else, you know, Louth, like we're saying, is a great spot too. A bit of an unsung county when it comes to its like natural attractions and food scene.
Well, I was also thinking, like, if you get it for that rate, some people might choose to go for two nights, and then you're there and you can explore the area as well. You can kind of enjoy the hotel, but then get out and enjoy the area. So
exactly.
You're not too far from Carlingford there, which I love.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have the one night great anxiety. We have to enjoy this.
And yes.
Yeah, but yeah, Carlingford, gorgeous village, or a town, I guess. And that is, first of our families, you have the Carlingford Adventure Centre. They have a sky park that I did. So it has like all levels, some from your sand pits up to, it has an Ireland's Ancient East maze, a kind of an aerial adventure course for older kids or even adults. Feels like doing CrossFit up in the sky, to Ireland's only apparently wheelchair accessible zip lines. That's pretty cool that they have that kind of accessibility too. And then you have the Sea Louth Festival. So, you know, Louth, of course, has like a really small but really beautiful coastline, which, you know, many people would say getting the train up to Belfast, and it looks stunning. You have towns like Blackrock, and you can visit on this Sea Louth Trail 14 panoramic sites across the county, and then visit local producers like Carlingford Oysters, or check out some of the restaurants like Fishy Fishy in Carlingford. And so really it packs a punch, does Louth.
Okay, let's move to Armagh next.
Yeah, so just up the border, and again, not a county, not a very kind of tourism like synonymous county is Armagh, and we know it very much from you know, driving up through to Belfast. But a really lovely, if you're looking for a gourmet getaway right there, Blackwell House is a kind of an intimate 5-star guest house set in the county's rolling hills. And it has like really kind of, it's 5-star level, I would definitely 5-star level rooms. It has like Art Deco themed or period themed, but the main kind of event here is the food. The owner Joyce is a really fantastic chef, so wonderful, like locally sourced menu, great wine. She's also I think there's a celiac in the family, so really gluten free friendly as well. And that's from €180 per person, but that's really a treat. So if you have any kind of food lover in the family, like your parents or grandparents who'd like a break, that could be a one for them. And then Armagh itself is of course the Orchard County, so you've got loads of cool events happening in September. You've got food, like, you know, food tours, cocktail masterclasses. I mean, it's known for its orchards. You can go apple picking or cider tasting. And one of my really tips would be to do the Slieve Gully and Forest Drive. Now, I've seen signs for that tons of times driving up and down from Belfast, but I never did it. And I think it's one of Ireland's best road trips.
So, really?
Yeah,
wow.
It really is.
Slieve Gully and Forest Drive.
Yeah, it's a short one. Anyone driving to Belfast or Dublin today will see the signs. It's not too far off the motorway. And it's Armagh's highest mountain. It used to be some primordial, so very, very early volcano. But the cool thing about the Slieve Gullion is many of Ireland's mountains you have to hike to, but this has got a really nicely looped 8-mile route right around it. It's the early home of Cú Chulainn, by the way, so it has all that kind of mythology vibe going on, energy. And it, even though it hasn't got a massive elevation, it's like 500 metres tall, there's a lot of low-lying countryside around it. You have spectacular views when you're up there, from the Mourns down to the Cooley Mountains too, and really, really beautiful. It almost feels like being in the west of Ireland, in the east of Ireland, or the northeast of Ireland, if that makes any sense. Just kind of feels raw. You've got mountain sheep up there. It's a vibe.
Okay, so that is Armagh. It's Blackwell House. Somebody just texted in, what was the name of that again? So it's Blackwell House and the Slieve Gully and Drive. Okay, that's your tip for there. Let's go to Leitrim.
Yeah.
And we're back to cabins.
Cabin.
We are cabin mad in Ireland.
Cabin mad. We're gone cabin.
I love a cabin though. I do love a good cabin.
Do love a good cabin, and they're definitely getting better. So I know we have like Centre Parks. I know we've both been to Caboo, which I think we both really like. And now Leitrim is in on the action. They just opened Drumahirney Woodland Hideaways in Leitrim Village this year.
These look incredible.
They're lovely, aren't they? They're kind of like something you'd see in like Washington State or something. They have these like wooden A-framed lodges on 100 acres of forestry. So they sleep up to 6 people. They're 225 a night for a minimum night stay. But like I say, they sleep 6. So if you've got, you know, want to go on a friend's getaway to kind of, or a kind of a, as they say nowadays, a cross-generational getaway with the grandparents and parents and kids to kind of dilute the costs, they're a really cool way to go. They have a wellness sanctuary spa, so you can have your going into your hot tub in the woods. And even in the evening, you can get a fire pit delivered to your lodge with like a stack of logs. And
what are we talking money-wise?
225 a night.
225,
yeah,
okay.
And it sleeps 6, okay?
Wow,
so
okay.
If you have 6 adults, what's that? 6 fours, just under £40 a night per person. It's a pretty good deal.
Nice.
And then beyond Leitrim, you have, I mean, Leitrim is so undiscovered. It has like all Loch Allen and the beautiful Blue Way there. It has Ireland's only floating boardwalk, so you can kind of, I guess, walk or cycle across. I think you have to disembark your bike, but you can go across the lake on this floating boardwalk. You have the iconic Shed gin distillery, Drumshambo gin, which many people know nowadays. And also fancy spots like Loch Green Castle if you want to go for a fancy afternoon tea or something.
Brilliant. All right, so we've covered Louth, Leitrim and Armagh. Tom Brannock, you're a man of many talents, we know that. And we all love a bit of value. Thanks for chatting to
us,
and we'll chat again soon, Tom. That is all we've got time for today. Sarah is next with you on Drive Time, and I will be back tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.